Welcome to episode 22 of Small Talk, the community's unlimited podcast. My name is Chris Baker. Our guests today are Nathan Oley and Martha Claire Boland. Nathan is the president and CEO of the International Economic Development Council, and Martha Claire is the director of community sustainability here at Communities Unlimited. There is a lot of exciting stuff going on in the world of economic development, especially when it comes to rural areas. So I'm super excited to have them both on today. A couple of websites you can check out while you listen. EconomicRecoveryCorps.org. That's a new program that the IEDC has that we'll be talking about. And IEDCOnline.org is their website. And our website, as always, is CommunitiesU.org. Let's get right into it. Episode 22 of Small Talk from Communities Unlimited.
I use the analogy a lot, that not only do you need to invite people to your table for conversations, but you have to show up to other people's tables too, and especially those that you have never shown up to before. And the recognition in this program is that things like housing and childcare and infrastructure, whether it's water infrastructure, broadband, et cetera, are really vital and important. And so as economic developers, we need to both invite those folks to our table, but also show up to their conversations as well.
Nathan is the CEO and the president of the IEDC. It stands for the International Economic Development Council. Nathan, how's it going?
It's going great, Chris. Thanks for having me today.
Did I get all of that right there? Because that's a lot, man.
You hit it spot on. That was perfect.
Okay. So why don't you tell us in your words what you guys do at the IEDC?
Yeah. Well, first of all, Chris, thanks for hosting this. Thanks for all the work that Communities Unlimited is doing. I've got a long history with Communities Unlimited and a special place in my heart for the work that you're doing. So thank you for continuing to lift that up and spotlight that work in particular. I run an organization called the International Economic Development Council, as Chris said, the IEDC. We're the world's largest association for economic developers. So what does that mean? It means that we are in service of economic developers, not just here in the United States, but across the world. We are providing a lot of professional development. So we have courses and certification programs for economic developers to continue their own professional journeys, to learn from one another, and to learn what economic development is and key components of the economic development work itself. We also accredit organizations, economic development organizations, so that they can go through and understand what their role is as an economic development organization, also understanding the financial implications, the operations pieces that you have to have in place to be able to support the work in the long term. We bring people together through conferences, through webinars, through affinity groups and community practice, that type of community or type of organization that you might be in, because economic development has a wide spectrum of organizations that serve the economic development profession itself. And then we build partnerships. We build partnerships with organizations like Communities Unlimited and the RCAP Network. We build direct work in communities at times, and also with other large-scale national and international organizations and associations. Our goal really is to make sure that we've got tools and resources for practitioners on the ground to be able to do their work in the best way possible.
Speaking of folks on the ground, let's talk to Martha Claire Boland. Martha Claire, thanks for joining us. Martha Claire is the Director of Community Sustainability here at Communities Unlimited. Can you tell us a little bit about what CS, that's what we call community sustainability, CS is, Martha Claire?
Yeah, Chris, thanks for letting me join the podcast. And it's exciting to be here with Nathan, because part of our work is growing into that space where we're going to be connecting with Nathan in the next few years. And really at the heart of what the CS team does, it's about spending time in community and being really radically driven by the community voice. And our staff spends a lot of time building relationship. And we go in and say, you know, what does your community want to see happen here? And then we really get to work on connecting them to the right resources that fit those desires. And it's powerful to say that we have an amazing staff that really goes in, and they don't just connect with the usual suspects in community, not just the mayors and the city council, who are, of course, a huge piece of the work, but they really dig deep into community and look for those champions. And who are the folks who, you know, if they're riding down the road and see trash on the side of the road, they stop and get it, because they care about their community and how it's projected. They're the ones who attend community cleanups at the park and make sure that it's safe for their kids. And so we want to really pull those people to the table too, because a lot of times they haven't felt like they had a voice that was ready to be heard in community. And we want to get them to come to the table and create space for them to share what their dreams are for their communities, so it can really be about the people there.
Okay. So when we talk economic development, can you guys kind of give me what that means in your words in like some plain English? Because I'm a simple guy.
Well, I think Martha Claire actually just started to walk into that conversation. To me, it's centered around people in place. It is fundamentally about connecting and building connections for community. Economic developers can be folks from utilities or universities or nonprofits or government entities. There's a whole wide spectrum of people that play a role in the economic development field. But fundamentally, it's about building connection and about building collaborative opportunities. And so when you center it on the people and on the place in particular that they're working in, the region that they're in, that's the heart of what economic development is. And it's really about driving prosperity for those places.
Yeah, I mean, I think exactly what Nathan said, 100%, and particularly in the rural spaces, you know, it's identifying sometimes what do those ecosystems look like in comparison to a large community, an urban space where there might be a lot more of a tax base, there might be a lot more opportunity for large groups to come in and maybe start a new business. We're looking a lot of times at a much more small business, entrepreneurship driven ecosystem in the small rural spaces. So while we always are also looking down the road, who are the bigger places where we can connect? Because we know in our rural communities, there are folks who are driving out of those spaces into larger cities to work, and vice versa. So we want to figure out how do we pull all those threads together so that we can create that ecosystem that kind of runs the gamut from small business entrepreneurship up to those larger entities that come into maybe the bigger town next door.
How do you find those local assets that you want to leverage? I guess maybe, Nathan, from a larger perspective, how do you identify those?
Well, I want to actually pull on the string that Martha Claire talked about right there. And it is centered on small business growth and business retention and expansion, right? Because you have to focus on the assets in your community. Any strategy that's going to be long-term and sustainable from an economic development perspective is focused on the assets in that community and finding ways to help those existing businesses or those small business owners or entrepreneurs to grow and thrive in those places. Certainly, there's other pieces to economic development that complement that work. But when you center that work and focus that work on small business growth and entrepreneurship, you're going to actually grow businesses that are more sustainable, resilient, and obviously, you know, continue to embed wealth into your community, into your region in a long-term fashion. So it is truly about spending that time in your community, speaking with those small business owners, understanding the ecosystem that surrounds them that's going to help them either access capital or access great talent, whether that's small businesses working with community colleges or technical or vocational schools or universities in close proximity, whether it is talking through other workforce development centers, understanding the infrastructure that exists in that place. All of these pieces are interwoven and interconnected. And I think as we start to think about the future of economic development, we're going to see much more of a connectedness between all of those things: housing, workforce development, economic development, community development, infrastructure. Because especially in small places, but in any place, quite frankly, without those things being interconnected, without building those conversations and engaging in those communities, you're not going to have a long-term sustainable approach to driving economic prosperity.
Same question, Martha Claire.
Yeah. I mean, he is spot on. And I think, you know, we use particularly two kind of strategies or tools when we do this work in community. We use the WealthWorks model, which our CEO is part of that kind of first tranche of people who put it out there and really elevated this as an approach where you go into community and you do say, let's don't look at the problems. Let's start with the assets and look at those assets, like who are the political players in the community. And that doesn't necessarily, again, mean your governmental officials, but who holds that political power within the church structure, maybe, or just on the block. And so we really try to dig into with the community and hear them say, what is the thing in your community that's nature related that might draw in some tourism? And so we really do step through all of these different buckets. And I think a lot of times when we start to ask the question, it's like everybody in the room gets excited because they're like, oh, I've been living here for so long, I forgot those are assets, until some new eyes, fresh eyes got in here and were like, what about this really cool old building? Could something happen there? What would it look like for that space to be renovated? And we couple WealthWorks with strategic doing, which is another kind of model that really takes it and then chunks it up into like, what's the thing we could do in the next 30 days and put action behind it? So we're not always planning, but actually getting to the doing part of the work in communities.
Yeah, you guys know one of the things that, like, when people talk to me about where I work at and I try to explain what we do, I eventually wind up kind of back at this same place. And it's really, I don't know how to say it necessarily, but especially when it comes to like economic development part of what we do, the CS work that we do, it's truly quality over quantity, if that makes sense. Like quality of jobs for people that are sustainable. It's not always a straight numbers game, if that makes sense what I'm trying to say. Both of them are shaking their head because I think they understand what I'm trying to say because they do it. Do you guys feel the same way?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I mean, it's the conversation I think that we're constantly having, particularly when you're talking to funders, whether it's philanthropy or federal agency funders. A lot of times what they're looking for are numbers. And it's hard sometimes to quantify the changes that happen in a community when you just get one street repaved and suddenly there's this ownership and this opportunity and hope. And then it's like things start to happen because it breeds more excitement and hope for future opportunity. And it's hard sometimes to put that in numbers and to figure out how do you elevate the true success of these kinds of programs that happen in community. But really, when you get in there and you get the opportunity to have a funder sit down at the table with a group of people who've been working over the last 12 months on a project, and we've been able to find the right funding and write a grant with them, and then them get awarded that grant and now be at the point of implementing those funds, it's like everybody in the room can agree that, okay, this was one grant. And so it seems like that number one is kind of small, but it's going to change 2,000 people in that community's lives forever.
And Chris, from my perspective, you know, we're trying to drive more equitable economic outcomes. And that means place, it means race, it means economic status. We're trying to ensure that communities of all sizes, shapes, colors, everywhere across the world, quite frankly, have an opportunity to grow in the way that they want to and create a good quality of life for the people that live and reside and play in those places. Because what we know is there's been way too many communities, both rural and tribal nature, communities of color, and people of various economic backgrounds that have been left behind in economic development strategies in the past. And so we're really driving towards how do we create strategies and implement on those strategies that are going to assist everyone in bringing up the economic opportunity in those places. And how do we make sure they're a part of the conversation as we're designing these programs so that we're not designing something that we think will meet the needs of those places, but actually verify and understand that they will actually meet the needs of those people in those places?
We're speaking with Nathan Oley. Nathan is the CEO and president of the IEDC International Economic Development Council. Sorry. And Martha Claire Bowman, she is our director of community sustainability here at Communities Unlimited. My name is Chris Baker. Nathan, you've been at the IEDC for just over a year. Am I correct or no? 2 years in.
2 years. I hit my 2 year anniversary just a few weeks back.
Yeah. And in 2 years, we've got a new program that I wanted to talk to you about, the ERC. Explain what the ERC is, because that's really where kind of we connect directly, right?
It is. So the Economic Recovery Corps actually has been years in the making. In fact, when I was leading RCAP, which obviously is very closely associated with Communities Unlimited, you know, we started really focusing on how do we build capacity in places that have been under-resourced in a long time. And as I came on board at IEDC, this became one of the really key crucial factors that I wanted us to focus on as an organization and as an economic development field. And we were lucky enough to have an opportunity to work with the U.S. Economic Development Administration to put this program in place through a cooperative agreement. And we built this program with two main goals. One, to build capacity in under-resourced places, urban, rural, and tribal in nature across the United States. And two, to start to create the next generation of leaders in economic development, a pipeline of leaders that we can help both mold ourselves, but also learn from, because we know that in under-resourced places in particular, there's really distinct and unique challenges from an economic development perspective. So we launched this program in partnership with six other national partners, the National League of Cities, the National Association of Development Organizations, the National Association of Counties, the International City and County Managers Association, the Regional Accelerator and Innovation Network, and the Center on Rural Innovation. And we did that very strategically because, again, economic development happens in different organizations. So county government plays a role. City government plays a role. Entrepreneur support organizations in rural places play a role. And so we created this opportunity where we could have multiple associations and organizations helping to build training specific to those types of organizations that that fellows might be placed in. And we did this with a long-term approach. So it's not a one-year fellowship. It's a two-and-a-half-year fellowship where individuals are embedded directly into communities for that 2.5 years to build capacity in those places to accelerate economic development opportunities and for themselves to build on their own long-term economic development journey. And we went into this thinking and knowing that there would be some desire for this, there would be a need for it, but we had no idea exactly how much need there would be. And so we had 65 spots, which meant that we had 65 organizations that could host a fellow and 65 individuals that participated as fellows. As we opened the application window up, we had more than 500 organizations apply to host a fellow. And for 65 slots, we had more than 1,400 individuals apply to serve as fellows. And so it was just this incredible energy and excitement around this program, specifically around the need for this type of program. And Communities Unlimited was one of those that came in. We put about 100 organizations through a pretty rigorous accelerator program to really drive through what this opportunity might mean for their community, for their organization. And the work that Communities Unlimited alongside their fellow are going to do over the next 2.5 years is incredibly exciting. And the work that's going to happen across all 65 fellows and those host organizations is very, very exciting. It's, to me, one of the single biggest projects that we could have taken on. And in my humble opinion, potentially the most impactful program we could have designed and implemented.
Yeah, it's like it's really boots on the ground type work, right?
It is.
And the variety of the work the fellows are going to be doing, it's shocking how much variety there is in those 65 people that you were talking about. Our fellow that is working with us, Martha Claire, tell us what she'll be doing and what her function is.
Yeah. So our fellow is going to be based out of Alabama, in Mobile, Alabama, Sherry Campbell. And what Sherry is going to be doing, it's really exciting because for the last year, we launched a pilot program in East Texas through a partnership with the TLL Temple Foundation. And it was really a unique approach because we had the full support for, like Nathan alluded to, a longer term project. And so the Temple Foundation funded this work for 5 years, which is really unprecedented when you look at philanthropic funding. And what we're doing is we have been embedding local staff who already have some of that trust built up in community to go in, and rather than waiting out in the rural spaces for things to come to them, like the resources that come in from the federal government, a lot of times get bottlenecked at the state or even at the local level. We've gone out into the communities and we've identified what they need. And then we're going back and we're pulling those resources down and bringing them back and saying, this is the one that is the most effective for you. Now let us help you walk through the application process and really get to the point of implementation. And it's been a beautiful opportunity over the last years, and we've seen some huge progress. We've made many grant applications, and if all of those get funded, we'll be able to leverage almost $3 million in East Texas from that work. Now we need to see about scaling. What would it look like if we took this and we tried to replicate it in another state? I moved to East Texas for the first year to get this off the ground, and that's not sustainable. I can't move to every state when we try to replicate. So this opportunity with the ERC Fellowship is that we have someone now who is from Alabama, and she's got already some street credibility there. People know her and know her work. And she's going to do what I did and be there to really lift this up off the ground and see, can we replicate this work in Alabama? Can we find the right philanthropic partners there? Can we find the right community resource managers, which are the staffing component of this? And what will it look like if we do this in Alabama for the next 2.5 years?
And Nathan, why was creating a program like the ERC and getting this thing running, why was it important to you guys at the IEDC?
So you heard me talk about driving more equitable economic outcomes earlier. The heart of what we want to do is to continue to push the field of economic development forward. And part of that is recognizing, you know, what has been happening in the past that might have left communities behind. And this program in particular is a recognition that there are many communities that have been left behind as a result of economic development efforts and a whole host of other issues that have confronted them. And so for us, it is fundamentally about moving the field forward. It's about creating opportunities for the next generation of leaders. And the 65 fellows are truly that. They represent a whole wide spectrum of folks that have done economic development work, some in some cases for 3 years, in some cases for 3 decades. And so it's this great compilation of folks that are mission oriented. It's really important to them to be giving back in some way, shape or form. But for us, it was also a long term play. We didn't want to do a 1 year program where you come in and you help and then all of a sudden you leave and then the community, you know, has to figure out what to do after that. We wanted to build a long term 2.5 year fellowship that would allow for that long term capacity building. And hopefully many of these fellows will have the opportunity to accept a job either with that host organization or in that community, even beyond the 2.5 years. Our goal in all that we do is to provide tools and resources for the field itself to move the profession forward and to ensure that communities of all sizes and shapes are better off than they were when we started our work.
How do people in Alabama with our fellow, how do they connect with that person, Martha Claire? I mean, she's going to knock on their door or do they come to us?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think the answer is both. We certainly hope that folks in Alabama who hear about this will reach out and connect with us through our website and they can, you know, click on my name and connect directly with me. And right now, Sherry is starting to get out there. And so the week of March 18th, I'll be there in Alabama with her all week. And we've got some site visits lined up so that we can start making those connections. It does not matter to us who you are. If you love your communities in Alabama, whether you have an official capacity or you're just, you know, a mom who really cares about the fact that, you know, you're having a lot of boil water notices in your community and you want to know who's doing something about that. We're really encouraging in our literature that we're starting to get together to go out about this work. We want to hear all those voices. And so we'll have some listening sessions across the state that we'll be inviting people in, both those that do this for their work in that professional capacity, but also to really deeply engage community members and give them a chance to have their voices heard.
Chris, there's not a better example of what Martha Claire just described from what I talked about earlier in the connector piece, because that's truly what economic development is. And I use the analogy a lot that not only do you need to invite people to your table for conversations, but you have to show up to other people's tables too, and especially those that you have never shown up to before. And the recognition in this program is that things like housing and childcare and infrastructure, whether it's water infrastructure, broadband, et cetera, are really vital and important. And so as economic developers, we need to both invite those folks to our table, but also show up to their conversations as well.
We use the term like meet them where they are, right? Like literally sit down at the table with them and meet them where they are. So important. Okay. So we've been talking a lot about the rural aspect, but you've got international in your name, Nathan. Where are you guys at in that process? That's got to be a big undertaking.
It is, and it's a growing part of our membership, but it's a small part at this point in time. So I've been here 2 years. Our membership from an international perspective is about 5% of our total membership, about 25 countries represented around the world. And a lot of our work now on the international front is focused on building partnerships with other associations and organizations. Because as Martha Claire knows, in every rural place, there's a different way to do economic development. The same thing, every region of the world, there's a different way to do economic development. So if you're in Latin America or Australia or Southeast Asia or Africa, it's going to look and feel a little bit differently. For us, what we want to be able to do is build those partnerships to better understand what the needs are in those places and create tools and resources that can be tailored to the needs of those places. So if there's a really developed ecosystem of economic developers in the EU, that approach is going to be very different than a place in Southern Africa where we're just starting conversations around economic development. To me, the ERC program is a great example of that as well, because whether you're in urban, rural, or tribal places here in the U.S., there's going to be different approaches needed. And so where we can tailor training opportunities for individuals to both further the profession there, but also tailor the tools and resources to meet the needs of those places based on the conversations you're having in those places, that's where we want us to be of service to economic developers across the world.
Awesome. We've got just about 5 minutes left here, guys. And I wanted to give you guys kind of an open mic type of situation, and I'll start the question off. What have I missed? Is there anything that you want people to hear about your work or about how they can interact with you or about maybe what the future holds? Just kind of like, you know, if somebody in a community is listening to this podcast, what would you like them to know?
I mean, I think for me, it is really that we're here, you know, in the 7 states that Communities Unlimited serves, we're here and we want to listen and we want to hear their stories. And We're open to that by phone call and by email. And we really do invite people to reach out and not feel like they have to wait for us to come to them. You know, seven states, it's a lot of territory to cover. And one of those states is Texas. So that's, you know, happens to be where I'm sitting today. And, you know, I forget sometimes how far it is from one side of that state to the other. But even if we had, you know, staff in every single county in all of those states, which we don't, we could not get to every voice on our own. And so we just really want to hear from folks. And so never hesitate to go online. Our numbers, our email addresses are on our website and they're there and we're very transparent and we want people to reach out to us. And probably two or three times a week, I will get a cold call or a cold email from somebody that says, hey, do you ever come to this part of Oklahoma or this part of Tennessee? And those are the ones that really get me excited because maybe no one has ever elevated them as a referral to us before, but now I've got someone there that I can go and say, let's sit at a table and talk to the people in your community about what your community wants to see. Because we really do believe, and Nathan said it earlier, that people, they ought to be able to live, work, worship, play, wherever they want to, regardless of the size of the community that they live in. And that means that sometimes they need resources and we can connect them to those. And so just never hesitate to reach out to us. We're here and we really do want to connect with every single person across those seven states.
All right, Nathan, what would you like people to know about the IEDC or the ERC program that they need to take away from this conversation?
So I think there's a couple pieces. Number one, economic development is changing and changing rapidly. A lot of it for a result of the pandemic, obviously, but also of a recognition that places have been left behind in the past. And so to me, the future of economic development centers around collaboration. Competition has always been a part of economic development. It will always remain a part of economic development. But those that figure out how to collaborate, how to think regionally and to truly engage with folks regionally are at the forefront of where economic development is headed and certainly at the forefront of driving prosperity in their community, in their region. The second piece that I think is really critical, rural economic development in particular, I think is maybe the most undervalued aspect of the economic development profession. Folks that are doing this in small places in particular obviously have challenges, but they also have really unique opportunities. And it can often feel like a little bit of a lonely place to be in a small place. And for IEDC, for the economic development profession, we want to make sure that the voices of small community practitioners are at the forefront of what we're doing, whether we're talking about policy, whether we're talking about practice, whether we're talking about professional development. And so the strategies that Communities Unlimited and so many others in rural places have been using are the future of economic development because they're centered around driving and embedding wealth into those places in a long-term and sustainable approach. It is really difficult to get a governor or a mayor to think long term by the nature of the work that they do. An economic developer's job is really to connect not just mayors and governors, but other nonprofits, other small businesses, other large businesses in their community to a long term sustainable approach to driving growth or prosperity in those places. And so those small communities in particular have great stories to tell and great lessons for others to learn, because what's happening in small places might be different in many ways from larger places, but the lessons learned, the failures that people confront are very similar. And so it is a much smaller field than you would think it is. And there's great opportunity to engage. And from IEDC's perspective, we want to continue to make sure we get feedback from anyone possible, whether they're members or not members of IEDC, because for us, the goal is to move the profession of economic development forward, to make it more collaborative, to make it more intrinsic to the way that people think about the way that their community not only looks and feels today, but will well into the future. And so we're always looking for feedback. We're always looking for partnerships. And any way that we can be helpful to any community, to any person in economic development, we're here as a resource.
You know, in 30 minutes, I think we might have solved a lot of issues there. You guys, thanks for joining the podcast. This is episode 22 of the podcast, and it's one I was pretty excited about because it really expands our knowledge, my knowledge of this field that I don't know a whole lot about. And so I appreciate your time today, Nathan. I really do.
Chris, can I add just one more thing? So for those of you listening, obviously most of you know who Communities Unlimited is, but for many people, they may not know. And it is to me, one of the greatest examples of an organization centered on community and people, and with a focus on a broad spectrum of needs and opportunities in those places. And the leadership of Ines and Martha Claire and so many others have been pivotal, not only in my own individual journey, but in the journey of so many others in this field. And so I just would be remiss if I didn't lift up how important Communities Unlimited is, not just to the communities you serve directly, but to the economic development field itself.
That's Nathan Oley. Nathan is the CEO and president of the International Economic Development Council. Martha Claire Bullen is the director of community sustainability here at Communities Unlimited. Martha Claire, thanks for joining us again today.
It was my pleasure. It's always a pleasure to get to visit with Nathan too. We appreciate all the work you've done to continue to network the right folks in the room so that we can continue to do great things in community.
That's episode 22 of Small Talk, the Communities Unlimited podcast. As always, you can find past episodes and more about us at communitiesu.org. We'll see you in a couple of weeks with a brand new episode.